following is a paid program and does not necessarily reflect the opinions of the staff or management of Visionary Related Entertainment.
I was drawn to a place in the sun.
All right, it's 7:06, Monday morning, July 22nd, and it's time for Creating Mauitopia with Ori Kobelman, author of the booklet Creating Mauitopia. And good morning, Ori.
Good morning. I'd like to first start the show by reading the definition of Mauitopia, which comes from the booklet, which is Mauitopia will be an ideal utopian society of the future, a first-of-its-kind place in the world on the scale of over 100,000 people, where thanks to the technology all of us have, our survival needs of food, clothing, and shelter will be met, while pursuing our individual self-actualization. A place where we find true happiness by each contributing our unique gifts to the community. A place where we can all coexist in peace and harmony with no crime, and where we can all help each other grow and succeed. Mauitopia's free market economics will be based on regulated capitalism and make the island a real paradise, Maui truly no ka'oi. In this morning's show, we're going to talk about random acts of kindness. I'm sure many of you are familiar with that term, which I guess was coined in about 1982 or 3, and I'd like to read the definition from Wikipedia, which is: a random act of kindness is a selfless act performed by a person or people wishing to either assist or cheer up an individual person or people. The phrase may have been coined by Anne Herbert, who says that she wrote Practice Random Kindness and Senseless Acts of Beauty on a placemat at a Sausalito restaurant in 1982 or 3. Either spontaneous or planned, random acts of kindness are encouraged by various communities. And that's the definition, and I'm happy to say that this morning's show will be co-hosted by Cindy Paulus. Hi, Cindy.
A big aloha to you, Ori. I got in early this morning. It's so nice to be here, though, on this Monday morning, full moon Monday.
And you have a lot to talk about random acts of kindness from your book.
Well, you know, actually, the Practice Aloha book, too. Mark Gelman and Barbara Santos put out a beautiful book called Practice Aloha, which kind of got me. Mark is such a great guy, and he actually, through his business, the hardest place, I think, to really, traffic, and the hardest way to be in Aloha is, I think, through traffic and when you're at work. And so that's really interesting when you try to practice Aloha while you're in traffic, rushing, or when you're at work. I really was very, very blessed to have Mark ask me to put a poem in there. I write a lot, as you might know. I get up every morning, and after I meditate, I just write down messages every day. I've got about 14,000 that I've written over the years now. And so I put together one that I'd written about Aloha, and I just put practice. I had really written it saying loving Aloha, living Aloha. So I changed it to practice, and he put it in the book, and then a song came to me, and I made it into a song. So that's how that happened, and it was really interesting how that evolved. And what I love about what you're doing and the idea of random acts of kindness is that I feel it ties in a lot with that aloha that we have here on
exactly.
this island, and it can be anywhere.
And one of my best examples, actually, of a random act of kindness is when I was at the Millennium Dome in London, England, of all places.
Mm-hmm.
And there are thousands of people there. I don't know if you've ever been there, but
no.
It's an amazing place. And I lost my wallet.
Ooh.
Oh, and I had several hundreds of dollars in it because I was traveling
yeah.
and all that. Anyways, I was totally freaked. And I went to Lost and Found, and this nice Oriental guy just happened to come up at the same time and said, and I said, hey, I lost my wallet. And this guy says, is this by any chance your wallet? And I said, yes. And I could not believe it. I thought, boy, was Lady Luck or God or Spirit or whatever on my side at that moment. But that was a huge relief. And I guess, I don't know if you call it a random act of kindness or
definitely.
He was just doing the right thing.
But well, I think isn't that kind of the same thing? I mean, if doing the right thing, I think, is doing random acts of kindness, it's certainly a version of it. I had the same thing happen to me right here at Minute Stop. I go down there a lot of times to pick up food, and I went and I left my wallet out on the counter, and I literally was at the door, and the woman said, no, it was actually the person behind me said, oh, that's your wallet, it is your wallet. And you know, everyone knows what a blessing that is, because we none of us want to lose our wallet. That's like, oh, no, not that, don't go there.
And the interesting thing is how good it makes you, the person who does the random act of kindness, feel,
yes.
Let alone the recipient, right, who says, oh, thank you so much.
Yes, and often it's not just that. Often there's a ripple effect, because, like, there was someone behind me, there were other people at the counter. So I think that's interesting, too, when people see random acts of kindness, say, for example, in traffic right now, someone's driving and someone allows someone else to get in front of them.
Yeah.
The person in the other cars see that, you know, and it goes on. I think there was a great example that happened of that when someone, I don't know exactly who it was that started this, but someone went to a fast food restaurant. I don't know if it was McDonald's or whatever, and they said, you know, I'll pay for the person behind me. And then the person behind them said, oh, you know, I'll pay for the person behind them. And it's gone on, and it's been a practice that a lot of people have done, is like you pay for the person
it's
behind
amazing.
You. Yeah. So so that ripple effect is really impressive, you know.
And that is one of my hopes for Maui in terms of creating Mauitopia, the fact that the Aloha spirit here is so amazing. And when I got here 20 years ago, I thought, wow, what an amazing place. And it's not that people do it all the time, but they do it more often.
Yeah, I do think there is something to that aloha. And, of course, I think aloha is said in lots of languages. I mean, namaste, and there's lots of ways people share that recognition of the equal spirit in you and the spirit in me. When I was writing my song, Practicing Aloha, I looked up in the Hawaiian Dictionary. I mean, because I'd never done it. Isn't it funny? We say aloha every day, maybe many times in a day, and I'd never looked up the definition before. So I did, and I was surprised. There's many definitions, but we all know ha is the breath, H-A. A-L-O, when I looked up, that interested me. That one, it showed up in many different books where I looked it up. A-L-O can mean the living spirit, the presence of spirit. So when you have the presence of spirit with the breath, you have a living sharing of that equality of spirit, and we're recognizing that everyone has that spirit, just as when you say namaste in India, or when you're traveling in many countries, they bow, and in Japan, they bow their heads.
Mm-hmm. Out of respect.
Out of respect. In that moment, you're recognizing that other person also has that spirit in them. So, I mean, it is a worldwide thing. It's just that I think it's so nice here on this island that we see so many beautiful experiences with aloha.
And again, that's the, I think, the reason there's a hope for Mauitopia, that we could be the first society in the world that would be really different.
Well, I think that we certainly have the seeds of it. I mean, I've been listening to your show, and I guess the question that comes up often in me that I've never resolved about it is, in that act, random act of kindness, there's that randomness that makes it special. For example, I was thinking about something I do, because we talked about what we're going to talk about today. So I go to Minute Stop a lot, as I mentioned. So I just always take back, if there's change, like it's like 5 cents or sometimes 20 cents or some change that comes back, I always give it back to the person behind the counter. And it just, they know enough now where I don't have to explain it. I said, put it in the bank. And so they know if someone else needs it, they'll take that money. And they'll do it. And I was thinking about that, and I'm going, wait a second, now it's no longer a random act of kindness for me, because they know and I know that I'm doing it. So no longer is that
it's a planned act of kindness.
Yeah, it's a planned. And part of the wonderful thing about a random act of kindness, kind of like when you share aloha, is that it comes in a moment where you didn't expect it, and it really comes from the heart at that moment, which makes it even more special. So if we were to, you know, employ Mauitopia, you know, all of a sudden there's like a regulation or some imposition that you're putting on someone, instead of letting it happen randomly, you're telling people, this should be Mauitopia.
Well,
and people resent that shouldness.
I don't like shoulds. At the same time, it's not bad, I hope, to have a vision. to think, okay, mm-hmm. well, this is a place we'd like to be someday in the future. And hopefully it'll encourage the kind of behavior we wanted. Because, you know, Cindy, I mean, when you meditate, you can't really do random acts of kindness.
but you can carry that thread of meditation, that spirit, the recognition
into your
spirit.
Waking.
Basically, you implant it. I wrote a poem about this because I sit and meditate every morning early, and then I just pick up a pen and write something. I've been doing that every day since I've been about 14 years old. Yes. There's
so about a year or two ago?
yeah, that's a random act of kindness. but what I wrote was, if I may.
Yes, please, go ahead.
If you just set an intention to have goodwill today and allow that intention to work through you as you journey on your way, you can find it possible to act with kindness and a little compassion and less fear for your brothers and sisters on their journey who are trying to do what they need to do here. Random acts of kindness can happen in many ways, and you'll find that when you practice them, it'll bring a smile upon your face. The practice of a little caring for each other every day is a way to live aloha with the presence of Spirit's grace. And it'll take some remembering when we're overwhelmed in what we do, so you can make it simple. And remember, others are overwhelmed too. And if you practice a little aloha, you'll find that there's great gratitude for sharing that recognition that others appreciate that kindness offered by you. For there's a thread of spirit that lives in every soul. And that living of aloha is alive in the kindness that we show.
That's a wonderful poem. Yes. And I used to think that my ex-wife was crazy on the mainland when she would walk by a parking meter that was expired and she'd throw a coin in there.
Uh-huh.
I thought, what are you doing? This is not your car. And she said, well, you know, I'm just doing a random act of kindness. The person, maybe they're just a minute or two late and they shouldn't get a $50 ticket because in California, tickets are expensive.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Do you know if there are any parking meters on Maui? I mean,
well, you know, you'd mentioned this in a couple of your other shows, and I think it was Bill or someone that called and said, you know, it's illegal to do that. Now, I had heard that, and I guess you explored that.
I did.
And what did you find?
Well, it's a practice called re-metering.
Re-metering, yeah.
In other words, you put coins in somebody else's meter, and I actually called the Maui Police Department and asked them, hey, what do you guys, is it illegal? Would you ticket? And the response right away was, what a nice gesture, nice act. No, that's not illegal, or certainly we wouldn't ticket for that. So I think it's probably okay. Thank you for the caller brought that up. because I
heard you say this, and then I was just driving yesterday, and I thought, wow, I can't remember. I mean, I was really thinking of each area. You know, in your mind, I went through Wailuku. There's no parking meters that I know of in Wailuku. I walk Wailuku every day, and I think, okay, do I know any parking meters on the streets of Paia? I don't think so. And then I'm trying to think about Lahaina, and Makaua doesn't have. So I guess the question is, anyone know it? Are there really parking? And maybe this is why the policeman said it's a good, nice kind of. Maybe there, I mean, does anyone know if there's parking? I guess you can call 242-7800. But I couldn't recall. I know there's no parking meters in Hana, right? Are there parking meters? Are there parking meters on Maui? I know there are. There are parking meters on Oahu.
Oh, looks like we got a call.
There's parking meters on Oahu for sure. Aloha.
Aloha. The only place I know we have parking meters is at the state building in Wailuku.
You're right, in the parking lot there.
Right, both sides, the front and the back.
And that's kind of expensive there, if I remember correctly, too, isn't it?
I think that, I know the minimum you can put in is 25 cents. I forget the time. I think that gives you 30 minutes.
Yeah, which isn't a lot when you think about it. But I guess, I don't know, I've lost track of the inflation rate of what parking meters get.
Yeah, of course, it's we tend to think of it as a mainland thing where, yep, some places they're all over. But that's the only place I know on Maui.
You know, and I'd never thought about that till yesterday. When I started trying to think of where there are parking meters. Did there used to be parking meters in Wailuku? Do you remember? Someone thought there might have been, but I can't remember.
Not in my time, but I'm not an old-timer like you.
Wow. So do you practice random acts of kindness every now and then?
I certainly believe I do. I mean, I certainly believe in the concept, and I try and do it as often as I can. I won't say I consciously think of it, but when I'm in that kind of a situation, my thought is, seeing somebody in a checkout line that comes up short, you know, like not much money, a dollar.
Yeah.
They're short, and they're like, oh, I'll put this back. And I'm like, well, here, you know, here's a dollar. And most people are like, no, I don't want anything. And I'm like, no, I'm just, this is a loan. I'm loaning this to you, so you'll see somebody else someday that needs it. And
yeah, that reminds me of the lady. Remember that story of the it was a big what do you call those lottery ticket things? I forget which lottery won, and this person let this lady behind him. I guess she was a grandma type behind him go in front of him in the line, and she got this winning ticket of like $32 million. Well, maybe it would have been more. It's like millions of dollars. And I wonder how that guy felt about his random act of kindness. but thank you for calling. I appreciate your input. I guess it's okay to say, for the police department to say, you can re-meter, because there aren't many meters here on Maui. Thank you so much. Aloha to you.
There are some, and there are the 30-minute parking spots, like in front of the Queen Kaumana Center. There's no meters, but it just says 30-minute parking.
Oh, yeah, no, most places have time limits. And if you're here in Wailuku, and you know that you can get busted if you go over.
And that's where what's a little annoying to me, because I use a handicap parking sticker, and all the handicap parking spots in front of the mall are full a lot
really?
Of the time. Yeah.
Really?
And so I end up having to park in a 30-minute parking spot to run into Jamba Juice to get something, which when I say run, I don't really run, but it takes me, you know, maybe half an hour to get a Jamba Juice.
Uh-huh.
And then I got to be back in time for the
I have to say, I go to get a Jamba Juice very often. I've never, and sometimes I do a lot of shopping, and I've never ever had a ticket or any kind of note.
I have.
You have?
Yes,
seriously?
From the meter maid who goes around.
In the shop.
Yeah, he wrote a note. I mean, he can't give you a ticket per se. He doesn't have that power or authority from the government, but he can write a little note, and I've found that just myself, I like to try not to get those notes, because I feel like, you know, again,
getting your hands up.
Well, yeah, exactly. Because, Cindy, I brought this up in an earlier show, because we really need to, whether we like the laws or not, I think we have to follow the laws. So if it says 30-minute parking, my brain automatically will just go off, and in a minute, at 31 minutes, it'll start feeling guilty.
I think we have another caller. Aloha, caller. How are you today?
Oh, I'm fine, thanks. I'm the guy with the boldest information about the meter. I'm sorry I stand corrected, but I could swear I remember about 8 years ago reading in the Maui News about the guy, and it was those parking meters by the state building, and I can remember he got fined, and he had to do like 30 days in jail.
I don't know. I'd be curious to see if anyone else remembers anything about that.
Well, thank you for bringing it up.
It might be different because it's a private parking lot, and you could.
Well, I apologize. I stand corrected.
Yeah, no, anyway. I appreciate you bringing it up, because I did a bunch of research on it and tried to Google it, and so I really appreciate it that you brought it up. I didn't even think about it.
Well, here's another bit of trivia about parking meters. All of the parking meters in Denver, Colorado are owned by the government of France.
Wow.
All right, thank you. Aloha for the show.
Aloha to
you. I was just going to say that you're correct that in some places in the country, it is illegal, depending on the municipality.
You did find that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, again, it was a very valid call. I had not thought about it. And like I said, in Maui, it's legal, I think even in Hawaii, but not in other places in the country.
Well, you know, another thought occurred to me about this, about random acts of kindness, because what I kind of wondered also is, if you do a regular random act of kindness, do you really get to a point where you feel like you're doing too much and you're not getting enough back? I mean, and then, of course, you blow the whole idea of it being a random act of kindness.
Right.
But if you continually, okay, I'm going to use an example, me as an example, and this is embarrassing, but Gary knows about this. We constantly at the station, we eat many of times our lunch or snacks here, and we are constantly running out of plastic forks and spoons. So I know Gary's gone and got some. I've gone and got some. Spoons seem to go first. Twice I've gone to get spoons. And I noticed the other day, wait a second. Okay, this is the second time I've gone to get spoons. There's only like one left. I mean, come on, guys. Someone else should be buying these spoons. Because I'm buying. But then I did it as a random act of kindness, and I expected others to reciprocate.
Mm.
And they weren't so, but again, I realized at that moment, it's like, okay, I shouldn't really be expecting someone else to be.
It's hard, right, to give without expecting a return.
Right,
yes, that's a hard one for me.
Well, isn't that one of the harder parts? If you give, and if you're giving, you think, well, gosh, I've been giving all, how come no one else is reciprocating, you know?
Right, you want to be able to give freely, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever that means, right? Is not to feel like you're burdened by it, because I definitely know all about feeling burdened for doing things.
Yeah, I mean, you did your book. It's for free, right? Which is an interesting concept, because truthfully, I don't know if you know this. I mean, it's really hard to sell books.
Yes. Oh,
right?
It's actually, the Mauitopia book is my fourth book.
Oh, you know that, then.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that you had.
Some of them are larger, more substantial books, of which I've sold thousands of copies.
What are the books?
The main one is called Projects at Warp Speed, doing quality, rapid product development. And it's a...
Well, that has nothing to do with Mauitopia, does it?
No.
Or does it?
Other than it's a good project management book about how to do any project quickly.
Okay.
And with high quality.
Okay, I'm going to put this out to the audience. And this is something I've found, because, I mean, of course, writing a song, and I've talked to Mark Elman about this, with his issue that he has Practice Aloha book out, he has it in T-shirts. I when I talk to him, I say, is it hard for you? Because, you know, if you break the Practice Aloha law, you're going to be really busted by people saying, you're not practicing Aloha, so it's a little more pressure on you, right? But I have found that when you're in a rush, that it's much harder to have that feeling of aloha. Because I've seen when people get really nasty sometimes, or they yell at you, or you see, I don't know if you've seen about the road rage that's happening sometimes, you know, and
of course.
It's getting really bad. But it seems to happen that when you're under pressure to be in a rush and someone does something like even cutting in front of you, even though they signal, people get really, really pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in a rush, it seems like that aloha is one of the first things to go out the window. So here you're saying you have this time thing you're doing, and I'm going, wow, that's must be harder for people to try to do something quickly or rapidly or effectively rapidly and then still have that.
Well, I used to teach this course all over the world, and the first question that comes up is, do you want to do it quickly or do you want to do the project with high quality?
Oh, yeah, that's an interesting one, yeah.
And my answer is always yes.
Yes. Okay, because I try to do things quickly, and Garrett can testify to this. I don't even finish the sentences of words I write. Sometimes I don't even finish the words that I write because I'm going so fast I don't have time to finish the rest of the writing of it, right?
Yes. So the answer is you want to do both.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's...
Well, that's very Zen-like, because in Zen practice, you are very aware and you're very present.
Right.
And what I was talking to my sister, because she's in a wheelchair, but she can walk a little bit, right? But she was walking on the walker and getting, what's that when you get the nerve damage?
Carpal tunnel?
Carpal tunnel.
Yeah.
Because she was putting so much pressure in her hands.
On the walker, yeah.
On the walker.
Yeah.
I know you're on a walker, too. I don't know if
I use a walker, and actually I've broken one of them because I realized that one of my hands, I put more pressure than the other.
Well, she was getting tingling feelings. She actually went to the hospital, thought she was getting a heart attack, but they said it's because you're putting so much pressure on your hands on that walker because it's supporting your body because she's got problems with their spine. She can walk a little bit. And I said, well, and I was just talking to her, and I said, well, you know, in Zen practice, I had to be careful because she's very, very conservative, right-wing Christian. So if I even say the word Zen, she thinks I'm the devil. But I said, in Zen practice, there's a practice that you sit and meditate for 40 minutes, and then you get up and walk around the room, and it's called Kinyin walking, K-I-N, I believe, H-I-N. And the idea is to walk as slowly, I mean, as slowly, as you, I mean, literally like 30 seconds for each step. And you know what? I don't know if you've ever... It's very difficult to walk slowly. And you're supposed to, but the other part to it that's difficult, you're supposed to, as you walk slowly, maintain that meditative state, never break that same state that you're in when you're sitting meditating.
Yeah, and I was very fortunate that 20 years ago, I got introduced to a yoga-like practice called Feldenkrais.
Oh, Feldenkrais.
Which has to do with awareness through movement.
Yeah.
And so, in fact, what you end up doing, I used to do half-hour, hour tapes that you move extremely slowly to find out exactly what you're really doing when
it's
moving.
Amazing practice because when you're doing Feldenkrais, and there was a wonderful teacher who gave it for free for a while at yoga at the Y. But when you do it, you see how interconnected your whole body is, and how when you just do something as simple as moving your feet back and forth, how it affects everything.
Your neck.
You notice I just touched my neck. But yeah. And so the same thing happens with Kenyon. So I wanted my sister to do that slow walking so she wouldn't put the pressure on her hands but use her whole body. We were going to talk some more about, in fact, I think we were going to give away, I wanted to give away a CD, my Practicing Aloha CD, because I don't even know how many I have. You know, we were talking about books. I mean, it becomes pretty much like your book. It almost is like a greeting, like an expensive business card.
Right.
Same thing with books and CDs, right?
Yeah, you know, we wanted to play one of your songs, which I absolutely love from your CD, the Practice Aloha song. Gary, do you have that available?
Touches land, the light that's in the people's eyes, show love is in command. The scent of ginger fills the air, there's beauty everywhere. Look into our heart and soul, see how much we care. Practicing aloha each and every day. We're guided by aloha, and kindness shows the way. Practicing aloha of these lands, practicing aloha, bring peace into our lands. Rushing mountain waters lights the stream to distant shores. Kiki play and laugh, their hearts call out for more. This is a sacred aina that we cherish and we share. The magic that we find here is what we all look for. Practicing aloha each and every day. The spirit that's alive here guides us on our way. Blessing that we give, blessing that we give.
That's, you know, that's something I wrote with a wonderful man who was the, he used to sing in Hapa. Kaili Kanealia was the original other part. Barry Flanagan and him did that together. And that was like the one I wrote from the words in the book Practice Aloha.
It's a beautiful song.
Yeah, and I again, a lot of aloha in it, and a lot of people on the CD. I have Marty Dredd, and a lot of aloha shown by the musicians, Eric Gilliam, and George Komolka. Oh, my gosh, that guy is such an amazing guy. He's doing so much always for so many. But if anyone wants a CD, you can call up, and I'll have a CD to give you here of the Practicing Aloha CD. And you can call 242-7800. The lines are open at 242-7800. We also would love to hear about random acts of kindness because, I mean, of all of the aloha, I think I love this principle of the random acts of kindness, principle of Mauitopia and aloha and how it combines. It's a wonderful bridge. Again,
the
you want to call...
Forward.
Yeah, 242-7800, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say the paid forward, that if more and more people do it on a consistent basis, whether it's random or not,
mm-hmm.
and more of that will continue happening. And, again, I have these ridiculous ideals that someday there will be no crime on Maui.
Yeah, but see, this and that, and that's, I always, when you say that, I go, wow, you know, and it was so funny because I heard it on the first light driving in again. Today, they were bringing up the problems with unemployment benefits running out and people and people's attitude about stuff. And some people are at some point learning it. Others people are at another point learning. But one of the amazing things about life is that we're all here learning, you know, and if you took away the aspect of people, you know, being able to live by experience and learning by experience, I mean, then you'd be having one of the amazing things that happen by being on this planet. We all are different levels, all living and learning together, and not everyone's going to be at the same place as
well, that's true.
Else.
It's just a matter, though, of how, what's the bottom line, or how bad of a mistake can you make? Like,
yeah.
And I think, again, I brought that up in one of the earlier shows, yeah. is that's why I am grateful for the fact that we do have a system of laws in this
mm-hmm.
country, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm really grateful for
where
that as well.
Where if you make a mistake that's against the law, you could go to, well, you could be pay a fine or go to jail.
Yeah.
And so, again, it's okay to make mistakes, however.
Well, you know, and you brought up a couple points around that, in which one of the things is people have gotten better and better and better lawyers who basically, you know, you think if someone makes a mistake and they get a good enough lawyer, there's enough laws now on the books where you can almost, well, if you have a really great lawyer, you have a pretty good chance of getting off. But then you followed that with an interesting concept, which is, okay, there's karma. And I could relate to that, yes. There is, I do believe in karma. And, you know, I think when we make mistakes in life, you won't always see the karma, but I think eventually you feel what you did to other people.
Absolutely.
Come back at you, you know. I think you don't realize it always. You don't easily connect the dots. But you know, I really think it's possible for that. I think we have a caller. Aloha, caller.
Hi, this is Hap Miller.
Hi, Pat. Hap. Oh, hi, Hap. How are you doing today?
Oh, really good. And I like your show. And you
thank
know,
you.
What you're doing and things like that. And, you know, you're really being, you know, I've seen you with July 4th at the Kamala Center.
Yeah, you were down there. You got I think you got a nice prize from one of our great people who donated prizes.
I got the prize for two to see the Roy Orbison show at Lahaina.
Oh, great.
And I turned that over. I mean, you know, I invited a friend and actually two friends. We went there, you know, Wibbert Stewart and then the Archie Stewart.
Oh, yeah, Wibbets and Archie, I love them.
They
live aloha, too, don't they?
Yeah, they're very, you know, Wibbets is a really giving person. Archie's both, you know,
yes.
both really good people.
Yes, very giving.
But, you know, I invited them to the show, and they invited me to go to dinner at the McKenna Resort and have, you know, dinner over there. So it worked, you know, it worked, and we had a really good time. We went to the show. We met the owner of the radio station over there, and his wife was at the show, but it worked out really, really well. We went to Lahaina. It was a good, you know, good time thing. But, you know, what happens to me, I think religion is a really good thing, and I'm a religious person. When I go to church on Sunday, all those people in church, are good people. They're good. I mean, if we all were more religious type, we'd have a more, you know, the island would be better. And, you know, you don't see people, religious people, getting into trouble like that.
I have a question about that for you, and maybe you do too, Ori. I mean, it's again, there's religion kind of implies the rules of the, you know, the different kindness and the teachings of Jesus Christ, you know, really tell you to love your neighbor as yourself, and that is, I think, one of again a definition of aloha, right? If you're loving someone as yourself, and if someone does wrong unto you, you turn the other cheek, you know, and so those are principles. But I mean, here, how many people really live that every day? That's the standard you set, right? And then you go, okay, you know, we know that that's there, but then it's the living of it, not just on Sunday when you remember it, but every day that.
You know, well, it's like Sunday is a day to recharge your battery, and
yeah,
you kind of get good, and you know, those good feelings and everything. But I mean, our country is built on, you know, Judeo-Christian, you know, in God we trust and everything like that. So I mean,
well, I
religion is kind of a, I don't know, comes and goes like that. But
I'd like to just chime in that I'm in agreement. I grew up Jewish and I accepted Jesus Christ as being the person, God's representative on earth 2,000 years ago. So it is true that religion and the Judeo-Christian upbringing and tradition in this country has, I think, brought us a long ways as a country and as a society. At the same time, I wrote a book 20 years ago called The Second Ten Commandments, Your Guide to Success in the Age of Consciousness. And in that book, while I was doing that one, I found out there are a lot of places in the world, a lot of different religions, like Zen or Buddhism or whatever, that actually have a lot of the same kind of principles. Not exoteric. Exoteric means external practices, what you end up seeing. But esoteric principles,
inward,
which are inward or spirit-led.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, I agree, Hap, with you that we need to have more, if you will, religious orientation. But actually, my pastor says we're not that organized, so it's not organized religion.
Well, and it's interesting when you said that, I don't know why, it just occurred to me what happened with John Lennon's beautiful word, song, Imagine, which is such a, but again, he puts in there, Imagine No Religions, and I forget who it was. There was someone who was singing that song on a national platform on TV, and he left out Imagine No Religion, and everyone got really upset, you know, and I'm sure for him it was probably a religious thing that he wanted to take out that part that said Imagine No Religion. But yet here we are in this world, and I'd love to hear your opinion on this, Hap. I mean, religions and the battle between religions have caused major, major wars and difficulties and which we're still in the midst of, and a lot of in the midst of, between the practice of the Islamic practice of some extremists versus others. So here we have what should be a unifying force, in my opinion.
Right.
God and the practice of goodness is God is good, and we should all be benefiting. Instead, we're killing each other over it, which is to me like the worst part of religion, is that it can cause people to be fanatics in the practice of it.
Well, religion and politics don't mix. You know, there's a big thing about the politics really get things, you know, unbalanced. But pure religion is you know. Like I go to church and I see the people over there and they're all peaceful and they're not, you know, the kids are all there and they're all behaved. They're, you know, not all, but, you know, they're pretty well, they lay down the rules and, I shouldn't say rules, but, you know, guidelines, and then it's a guide that, you know, you accept, and the Ten Commandments and things like that. But, you know, we're trying to go, I mean, the whole thing is to be reunited with our Creator type of thing, you know.
Yeah, so, and I have to say there's some wonderful churches that offer free meals right up the street here on Main Street, church.
I was over there yesterday for some, well, this lady friend of mine, she invited me to, we went to Ace Hardware, and then we went to town, and we she was checking out the parking situation, and we found where the parking meters in the county building in front of, you know, we were checking that out for you.
Thank you.
There's a coincidence, but there's also, there's things kind of fall together. Like I said, I went to that on July 4th, heard on the radio, well, you're going to give away free tickets to, for Roy Orbison concert. And, I went over there for that purpose. And then, I got tickets and there's something about being lucky and then being blessed.
Yeah.
I think I was blessed by winning that, and I turned it over and went to Archie and Wibbets. We went out and had a good time.
Well,
I think
good.
It was a positive thing.
Have you ever heard the definition of luck, L-U-C-K, laboring under correct knowledge?
I like that. I'd never heard that before. Laboring under correct knowledge. Okay, we have another call. Thank you, Hap. Have a great day. Aloha to you.
Thanks for calling.
Aloha, you're on the air. Aloha, you're on the air if you can hear us.
Mm.
Maybe not.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air live on Ka'oi. That's long. Nope. Wait a second. What do you mean I'm on the air live? I love radio, Ori, because, you get a chance to talk to people you'd never get a chance to talk to otherwise. So I guess we were going to ask if other people have experienced random acts of kindness or if they have done anything with a random act of kindness and how that works. And, it's interesting because people get afraid to call. But if you wish to share, because other people hear you might get inspired, the number is 242-7800. That's 242-7800.
And again, either way, if you've done an act of kindness, have been a recipient of an act of kindness, because Cindy and I were just talking about how wonderful it feels when you're a recipient of one of those acts of kindness, right?
And so many times, I think you have with you a book I wrote. My latest book is, it's called The Travel Angel Handbook, and it talks about reducing stress through kindness. We have another caller. Aloha, you're on the air. How are you? Maybe they're not hearing. I'll try one more time. We got a couple calls. Aloha, you're on the air. Aloha, you're out live on the air. How are you today?
I'm doing good. My random act of kindness is picking up hitchhikers, and this past week I picked up a young fellow that had insect bites and was going to the hospital.
Wow.
So I went out of my way and took him all the way to the hospital, and
he
was such a grateful young man, and I try to do that anytime I can.
Got chicken skin.
One guy I picked up was going to the hospital because his wife was having a baby and the car had died.
Wow.
So they're really great people that you can pick up hitchhiking and meet people from other places. And back when I used to hitchhike, it was really, get into great conversations and people take you where you need to go or feed you or whatever. It's one way that you can do those acts of kindness is helping somebody out on the side of the road.
Wow.
Fantastic. And I'm curious,
That's what I have to offer.
Thank you. And you don't feel scared to pick up a hitchhiker?
I go on my intuition.
Mm.
It tells me yay or nay.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a wonderful one. Well, God bless you. That's wonderful to hear. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the call.
Aloha. You're live on the air. How are you today? This particular line doesn't get through to people. You're on the air live. Can you hear us? Maybe they're thinking the random act of kindness. I have to tell you a story about that that's kind of scary about hitchhikers, because I used to, a long time ago, I had a musical instrument store at a very young age in Los Angeles. We had a wonderful music teacher, really was great, and he drove a van, and he didn't show up one day to teach, which was not like him. He was very conscientious. And didn't show up, and we called the police, and kind of, I guess there had been a search for him, what happened, and he had disappeared, and, this is a terrible story, it's hard for me to even say it, but what happened is that van of his Volkswagen minivan, later was found to have been used by Charles Manson in a terrible thing, and he was killed by Charles Manson. He picked up Charles Manson hitchhiking and was killed by, and after that time, of course, I never, ever picked up hitchhikers. Aloha, you're live on the air. This phone line's not getting through on this one. That's weird, isn't it? You can call 242-7800. For some reason, I know. They're calling on the other line. 242-7800. And there's another caller. We'll try it on that phone, see how that's working today. Aloha, you're live on the air.
I just want to remind everybody of the movie Pay It Forward.
That's a great movie. Isn't that the one with the kid?
That's the one with the kid that catches on and they change the world.
Yeah. Oh, I love that movie. I'm going to get that on DVD again.
All right. Aloha.
Thank
Aloha.
You so much for bringing it up.
Have you seen that movie?
Yes, and that's exactly the idea, right? It's
I love that movie, The Kid. And I'm trying to remember, because it's been a while since I've seen it. Do
me
you
too.
Remember how it goes? The kid is actually doing that and trying and. I think he does get in trouble at one some point and then continues on it, but he changes the whole idea, and that Pay It Forward movie was just beautiful.
So that's the idea of Mauitopia, right, is if we can just put a vision and hopefully start a process going where people start doing a lot more of these random acts of kindness and many of the other things we've talked about in this radio show. And maybe someday, 10, 20 years from now, we will have Mauitopia.
You know, and it is kind of a wonderful feeling of aloha. And I think we have Aloha-topia, right? We have a little Aloha-topia going on here. And it happens in so many ways. I write all these words down. And there was a wonderful musician who played piano who came in, and I asked him if I could use his music. He said, yeah, you can use my music under your words. Aloha, you're live on the air. See, it's doing it. That phone isn't getting through. I'm sorry if you can't hear us or we can't hear you, but try again, 2427800. For some reason, our phone line on one line isn't getting people through.
I know.
Maybe 2427800. If you tried to call and you couldn't get on the air, I'm sorry. Yeah, we'll just go with the other line. So if you tried to call, you can call again. We have about 6 minutes left. 2427800. You know, and you know what is interesting to me? I mean, I see so much aloha in just the natural Hawaiian lifestyle, but I have to wonder about these macho trucks. I mean, what is with these macho trucks that usually they just, I mean, sometimes they get on your back of your car and they're like, I'm, you know, gonna hit you for sure, and then they pass you and try to run you off the road. I'm not saying all of them.
The ones that are raised.
But there's some of this stuff with the trucks, and I go, what about that? Is that okay, we're gonna try again here. Aloha, you're live on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Great, how are you?
Good. I just wonder if you think we'll do a random act of kindness if they were to allow gay couples who want spirituality and your churches not to answer on the air.
Well, you know, we had a bad connection, so I'm going to try to repeat the question because I'm not sure I heard you 100% correctly. I thought you said it was at a random act of kindness if we allow gay people to get married, did you say?
No, if you just allow them in your churches.
Allow them in the churches. Okay, great.
Yes,
I'm glad
you're clear. Without judgmental cruelty. I'll take your answer offline.
Thank you for calling. Well, you know, Ori, I'm a minister, and I do civil unions. And I have to say that I work with Kevin Rubello, and they've been doing this for a while. And I have to say that I have seen some of the most beautiful couples get married. I did a couple a civil union service last week. These two women were from New Zealand. And, oh, my gosh, they were both dressed in these beautiful white gowns on the beach there. And I didn't even have enough Kleenex to give them. They said their vows. They both were crying. And at the end, they did kiss each other right there on the beach. You never know what's going to be the reaction. And people on the beach applauded. And it was so beautiful. I mean, it was really lovely. And, you know, out in nature, which to me is a church as well, I mean, it is obviously accepted and not everywhere. But there are churches that have done, like Unity Church on Maui, of course, embraces, gay couples. And I think it's very interesting. I know Marianne Williamson actually built her following years ago in Los Angeles by embracing gay couples. What's your opinion on this?
Well, my brother is gay. He's a couple years younger than me, and he and I get along great. And number one, and number two, he's been in a longer monogamous relationship with a man than I've ever been with a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I know people quote the Bible one way or the other, but I think none of us is God, and none of us knows for sure. And I think one of the things about Mauitopia, and I talk about it, is that we really need to accept all of us the way we are. And, again, this is where I come back to the law. As long as we're following the law, we should all accept it. what we do is okay.
You know, and that's a good point, because what happened to get the civil unions passed is they had to write off on the fact that it would not be a marriage. And they actually changed the whole way legality-wise that that works. But now it's working against people, because as more people are accepted in the states that allowed gay marriages, that now people are having to go to those states to have marriages, and we still do not have gay marriages in our state. So I think Governor Abercrombie is going to try to once again bring this up to the legislature. But if you remember, this was a very heated battle.
It still is.
Yeah. Aloha, you're live on the air.
Yeah, you guys keep bringing up the law and stuff, but what about when the law goes against the people and starts taking away our rights, like the Patriot Act?
Well, then we should work to change the law. I mean, if there's a law we don't like, I mean, we are the people. We have the power to try to change those laws. Again, as you know, the Patriot Act was put in place in order to help protect us, and not so much on Maui, but nationwide. It is used and has been used to try to prevent terror and evil acts against us. So, again, laws are...
Well, I don't remember voting for the Patriot Act.
Well, unfortunately, laws are not... We don't vote for laws. Right, that's just...
Yeah, well, we should be able to, right?
Well,
that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree with you, actually. In the future, particularly with the internet, we should be able to vote on individual laws.
I had to laugh on TV the other day. They said that it came up about Congress not doing much, and and it was stated, well, we should really be judged by all the laws we turned down, not all the laws we passed. And I went, what? But we're going to get into politics, and I think we're running out of time. But a big aloha, and thanks for bringing that up. I think it's an important issue, and you can listen to Lawrence. What's his name? Lawrence, you know, on his show.
Particelli.
Yes, he does a show about this. Yeah, yeah. He does a show on this here on the air, so certainly make sure you listen to that and chime in there, too. Okay, thanks for listening. Well, that's all the time we have.
Wonderful. And so I encourage everyone to do lots of random acts of kindness, whether planned or random.
And live with aloha in Aloha-topia and Maui-topia, right?
Thank you so much,
Cindy,
for being a guest on the show or co-hosting it today.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
I was drawn to a place in the sun where the ocean and mountain and sky are one. It is part of a much higher plan, Maui man. Where the up country slides to the sea, and the rainforest waterfall shouts melodies, under stars at night he touched my hand.
With your latest Island News headlines, I'm Jack Gist for Division of Real News Center. Heads up, Maui police will be increasing speeding enforcement education patrols during a week-long campaign that runs today through Friday.